coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Picking up the pieces after yesterday's 24-17 loss to the Raiders. Real disappointment out there in Oakland. Our show will be devoted to dissecting that game. We will have Bernie Kosar here for the first of his two weekly visits. He gets into it pretty deeply, especially on the offensive side. We'll take a look at Colt McCoy. We'll take a look at the entire passing game, the running game, a lot that did not work well for the Browns. We'll also dissect that and much more on the roundtable segment. We have Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. With yours truly, the three of us will break down that game very thoroughly for you. Now, Pat Shurmur was in the breakdown mode. He was asked quite a bit today about Colt McCoy and especially about the inability to get downfield passes.
Well, I don't know about downfield. There's times in the game when he was off the mark. We just keep working on getting him better. There's nothing specific. Each pass play has a component of protection, a component of a route depth, and then an accurate throw tied to mechanics. And so we just got to get better at all of it. I think you just got to drop back, see it, and throw it. There was a couple of times when we had pressures that should have been picked up that weren't, and there were reasons for it. And so it may have appeared like Colt didn't see it coming. He saw it coming and thought it was picked up. I think he's a young player working through what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. I think his confidence level's high. He's disappointed we lost. There's plenty of things he needs to work on, and that's what we're going to be about. I don't want to categorize everything as throwing the ball downfield. I think what we need is completions. We need general efficiency. And then when we do throw it down the field, we got to do it better. But you just keep working at it, and we just keep honing in on the fundamentals of throwing and catching, and that's what we need to do.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, is an interactive show. You ask me questions via the Browns official Facebook or Twitter pages. James did that via Facebook. He asks, what are your reactions to Joshua Cribbs' comments? Now, after the game, Cribbs was quoted as saying he thinks he needs to focus more on special teams, on the return game, and because he doesn't think he's making that much of an impact on the offensive side, so wants to fully concentrate on what he thinks he does best, what a lot of people think he clearly does best, as well as anyone in the league. My reaction to that is I think Josh is reacting in the emotion of the post game, and it's a hard loss. It was a difficult locker room, and I think his thought process probably would have been better suited to just think a little more about that. He's a contributor to this football team. He's a talented football player. He needs to be on the field, I think, as much as possible, not in a defined role. Even though that's a great role for him, I don't think it diminishes it. I think he's an effective return guy, and I think he was a spark. Clearly, he was a spark plug yesterday in the passing game. So they need more of Cribbs, not less of Cribbs. That's my general feeling about that. Our poll question, yeah, we do it even after losses. We ask you to give us a game ball choice, and not much you could choose from this last game, but we put it on the Browns official Facebook page. Mike Adams, Brad Maynard, Phil Taylor, or other are the possibilities to vote for that. Tell us why. You know the drill, and do that for us. All right, in a couple of minutes, we have a conversation coming up with Bernie Kosar on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group, and get the best deal of the year on a new Ford Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now with up to $5,000 in rebates. Or get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 cash back, and another $1,000 for your trade. That's 0 for 60 plus $2,000 on Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
At Biljack, we know your dog is an important member of your family. Since 1947, we've been committed to providing only the highest quality nutrition and the absolute best-tasting dog food. Biljack is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns, the biggest dogs in town. And like the Browns, Biljack is a hometown favorite made right here in Medina, Ohio. So pick up a bag of Biljack frozen dog food today. Biljack will make a visible difference in your dog's appearance, and your dog will love the taste, guaranteed. Available at your local Discount Drug Mart.
Hi, I need an insurance quote.
You want a quote? Let me give you a quote. I've got quotes, all kinds of quotes. Auto quotes, home quotes, life quotes. What kind of quote do you need?
An auto quote?
We've got liability, collision, comprehensive, uninsured, underinsured motorists. Do I hear uninsured, underinsured motorists?
What, can you explain to me how...
How about a deductible? Do I hear 2, 55, 100, 500, 1,000,
1,200? Could you just slow down? I have a question about
how... We have liability, collision, and uninsured, underinsured motorists with a 250 deductible going once...
Wait, I...
Going twice.
Hold on.
Sold to the woman with a confused look on her face.
It seems like some insurance companies want to rush you through the quote process. Not Liberty Mutual. We believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find the nearest Cleveland area office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to an agent about your auto, home, or life insurance today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Brown Stadium, and when I get my car service, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Route 91 northbound at Route 2, an accident. You are asked to avoid that area. Willoughby police are on the scene. 71 southbound after West 150th, two right lanes blocked with an accident. You're backing up to Ridge Road. Again, you are asked to avoid that area by police. 480 east and westbound, slow trying to get on to 71 southbound, so expect delays there too. The Interbelt southbound, slow, dead man's curve to 77. On Libby Roads, ESPN 850. WKNR traffic.
By the way, that daily poll question that we have, that's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And did I mention to you that this is Cleveland Browns Daily and that it's driven by Liberty Ford? I don't know if I did, but I'm going to mention that now. And I'm also going to tell you that this conversation with Bernie Kosar is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.
Bernie, oh, yeah.
And making the first of his two weekly visits to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, is Bernie Kosar. Bernie, how you doing?
Well, do a little better with the W. Interesting that we even had a chance to get a W yesterday. Kind of reminded me of the Dolphin week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was definitely a kind of game that is deceptive. I think the 7-point margin of loss doesn't indicate how poorly the Browns played overall and pretty much in every phase. And as you look at the game, the biggest takeaway I have is probably the takeaways that we've had right along, Bernie, and that's an offense that does not have any ability to produce big plays, or at least on a consistent basis.
Well, yeah, Vic, I wish I could disagree with you, but I think you're right on. I mean, one of the things, though, that I really am impressed with, and I'm not trying to say this to be critical of anybody, but there's no way we should have been in that game yesterday, the way it went. Yet the team has a resilience and has a persistence and has a fight and a resourcefulness that somehow has really elevated their way to stay in games and give them themselves a chance to win. But in reality, yeah, you're right on. The 7-point spread and having the ball at the 45-yard line with 55 seconds or so to go towards the end of the game was incredibly fortunate and not really indicative of how just physically and playmaking-wise the Raiders had it in their hand yesterday.
It's interesting. Greg Little gets into the starting lineup and catches right off the bat. 6 passes, 72 yards, averages 12 per carry. Doesn't get in the end zone, but was definitely a factor as a starter. And to me, that was encouraging because that was the most significant move that was made during this bye to try to put a little life in this offense.
Yeah, and I thought Greg Little, didn't hurt himself and helped the team yesterday for a rookie making his first start. And if you look statistically at a lot of players yesterday, Colt McCoy included, they actually look really good, yet the timing and the cohesiveness and just the playmaking of it really wasn't there in proportion to really how good the stats looked.
And, of course, the other side of this offensively is the fact that Colt McCoy was struggling. He completed only 21 of 45 passes, seemed to have some problems with accuracy. Now, I know some of that accuracy issue is caused by either poor protection or failure to pick up blitzes. Pat Shurmur was explaining that in a lot of cases, Colt recognized that the blitz was coming, but a blitz pickup wasn't made. So I see that. But overall, what do you make, or what were your observations of the way McCoy played?
Again, not to be Colt or a quarterback apologist, but do I concur and do I see the things that happen sometimes in blitz pickup or don't happen in terms of blitz pickup when you think it's going to be protected and it's not. And the Raiders, like yesterday, that wasn't the first time they've showed this fantastic physical presence throughout the season. They've, by and large, physically been making plays like this through the course of the season. It's probably why they have 4 wins right now. So they've been doing this to other people where, yeah, you think you're okay in terms of your play call or your protection or your pass route, and they just make a play and physically get past their assignment, get past the protection, get past the blocking guy, and put a lot of pressure on Cole yesterday. And, again, he had 2 touchdowns, no picks, which typically is good enough to win NFL games, but below 50% pass. And with that type of pressure, you're probably going to miss a few throws, and Cole probably had a handful of throws he wants back.
Yeah, I would think that was the case on some of the ones that where he had the time and the ball just sailed either a little high or a little wide or whatever it might be. The other thing about McCoy, and it's going to, I'm sure it's getting tiresome for some fans, observers, to say that he's a work in progress, to say that he's a young quarterback in his first full year as a starter, and you're going to have some rough patches to go along with some moments of brilliance. But I think people want to see consistency, and I think it's hard to explain to a lot of folks in general, Bernie, long-suffering Browns fans, and I don't know if there's any other kind, frankly, that this happens, this is the process, and you have to accept it. I'm not sure that the patience is always going to be that great, and in fact, it could be waning.
Yeah, I'm not. It's tough, and I was talking to some friends today and yesterday after the game about. If you look at it in the sphere of just this rebuilding process of this season or so, it's understandable, and you can show the patience. Unfortunately, because of since coming back in 1999, where it's somewhat been a recurring theme, the fans, like even myself, sometimes you get tired and kind of want to skip through a couple steps, and really, there's no skipping through couple steps in the NFL. You've got to lay the core foundation of a good, solid, physical team, and we're in the process of that. And in turn, same with the quarterback spot, it takes sometimes takes a little bit of time.
Bernie Kosar is our guest, and we are talking about yesterday's Browns 24-17 loss at Oakland. Bernie, the other thing that could help a quarterback tremendously, and that Colt McCoy has not had pretty much for the bulk of the five games that the Browns have played this season, is a running game. And absence of that, now it doesn't help that Peyton Hillis misses most of the game with a hamstring issue, and it doesn't help that Montario Hardesty steps in for Hillis and really doesn't do all that much, averaging 3.2 per carry on 11 runs. And when Hillis was in there, it was only 2-3, so there was really never anything happening in the way of a running game. And I know that's a really good Raider defensive line, and they have those big guys in there, and Richard Seymour and Tommy Kelly, but it doesn't. I don't know that that explains all that is wrong with this running game, because I don't necessarily, as I look at it now, I don't see how it gets better unless Hardesty just turns into, if we assume that Hillis his health is an issue or whatever for the time being, that Hardesty just has to turn into this sensational guy. And I'm not saying he won't, but I don't know that I can be confident that he will.
Well, right now, the running game is a mindset, and two, as much as some of the stuff we're talking about, a mindset and guys sticking with it and believing with it and executing it. And right now, when you're behind in games and you're trying to come back and you have to throw the ball, that takes you out of sometimes that mindset. And then, you know, we talked about it even last week. I mean, with the Raiders, you kind of know what you're going to get. And, you know, they played the press coverage outside that allowed for two cornerbacks to cover two wide receivers. That allowed those safeties and linebackers to hover and hang around the line of scrimmage. And I say this line a lot, too. You end up getting that almost rugby scrum-like appearance within the box of the running game. That actually makes the running game that much harder for an offense to execute, because so many guys, including both safeties, are so close and involved in the running game. Now you add a solid front seven like the Raiders have had, and it makes the execution of the run game almost impossible to be consistent at.
Bernie, how do you strike a balance as an offense in your passing game with throws that end up in the hands of the receiver? And as we saw, quite obviously, Greg Little was the featured guy in this game plan. He was targeted 12 times, ended up with 6 catches, but targeted 12 times. And then get your tight ends involved as much as you want when you know you've got some talented people there in Ben Watson, in Evan Moore. And yesterday we saw the tight ends targeted to the tune of 14 passes, but only 7 of those were caught. One of them, of course, going for a touchdown to Alex Smith. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, that's not what this team is striving for. You want more balance, certainly more of those passes completed. But what is it that can or needs to be done to make that happen?
Well, I this is not throwing it back on just a specific group, but I'm a big believer that when you have those press coverages and you're a wide receiver and a quarterback, it's almost a sign of disrespect to you, the quarterback, and to you, the wide receiver, that those two defensive backs can take away us two wide receivers. And the release at the line of scrimmage and the vertical fade, that 25 to 35 yard throw down the sideline where the receiver beats the DB and leaves that 6-yard box going down the sideline where the quarterback could throw that fade outside at 30 to 35 yards downfield to his outside shoulder, when that is a play that's within your ability to hit at your will, then defenses have to play the vertical game, play the horizontal game. It spreads them, gets the safeties from nosing around the box, and that opens up the running game, the tight ends in the middle, and that's a big, big play that, again, I used to harp on, I still harp on, and it starts with the releases of the wide receivers beating the cornerbacks at the line of scrimmage, heading vertically down the field.
is what we're talking about in general, the areas that need repair, and there's a bunch of them, are they fixable short term? I mean, can a lot of this stuff be put in place for Sunday's game against Seattle?
Well, these things, the thing that I just went on a homily about are because now on film, they're seeing Greg Little run across the middle, run the little slants, run the little crossing routes, run the little ends. And that is what they will work on for him to. It is set up perfectly now for somebody like him to use his strength and his release. Now, it's one of the harder things for rookie receivers is to learn a solid NFL release against NFL cornerbacks. But it, in the short run, guys with physical ability like Greg Little, like Josh Cribbs, who has two touchdown catches on basically the fade route versus press coverage this year, those type things now are actually set up and would help immensely. And I think we're going to start seeing some of that because the defenses are seeing those crossing routes, the inside stuff, the stop routes. And we haven't thrown on film a lot of them takeoffs. And Colt could throw them. The receivers, I know, have run them in training camp. So now it's maybe the next evolution to help take some of the pressure off the line of scrimmage.
Great stuff as always, Bernie. We will talk to you again on Friday.
Sounds good, Vic. Have a great week.
All right, you too. That is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us as he always does on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The hottest lease deals of the year are going on now at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Save big and lease Liberty's bestsellers, Ford Fusion or Escape, for only $179 a month. That's right, your choice, the fuel-efficient Fusion or Escape for just $179. Great fuel economy, great payment, great choice. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Ben, Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
With no events this past weekend for the UFC, the attention of the MMA community is some of the changes expected for 2012. Beginning with UFC 141 in December, the UFC will go back to airing their pay-per-views at 10 p.m. Also last week, UFC President Dana White announced the promotion has plans for 34 live events next year, up 7 from the previous year. And UFC heavyweight Shane Carwin has a lingering back problem that will pull him from his fight in December and place him on the sidelines until the early portion of 2012.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
If your company copies software illegally, your company is breaking the law. Report software piracy confidentially to the Business Software Alliance by the end of the year, and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.org.
If you've been injured, the attorneys at Russo, Rosalina & Company handle all types of personal injury claims, including wrongful death, car, truck, and motorcycle accidents, medical malpractice, and injuries on the job. In fact, if you've been hurt over the past 2 years, you may be entitled to receive a money award, even if you didn't miss work. Call Russo Rosalina today, 440-461-8500, or visit them at the website, rrlpa.com. That's rrlpa.com.
HGR Industrial Surplus, the largest used industrial surplus showroom in the galaxy, with weekly manager specials going on right now for walk-in customers only. Visit HGRINC.com or in person just off the East Shoreway. HGR Industrial Surplus.
Hi, I need an insurance quote.
I've got auto quotes, home quotes, life quotes. What kind of quote?
An auto quote?
We have liability and collision with a $250 deductible going once.
Wait.
Going twice. Sold to the woman with the confused look on her face.
Getting a quote shouldn't be such a rush. At Liberty Mutual, we'll take the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to a Liberty Mutual agent today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
And we're back. And thanking you for spending this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Browns fans, the Cleveland Browns four-pack ticket plans are now available in the exclusive club level. Enjoy climate-controlled lounges and premium amenities to four great Browns home games, including the sold-out season ticket finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers. For more information, you call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. Time for the roundtable portion of the show. We will look back at yesterday's 24-17 loss at Oakland. Joining us is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Doug, how you doing?
Doing fine.
All right. And Tom Withers from the Associated Press.
Hello, Vic. How you doing?
All right. Well, at least you didn't have to make the long ride back from Oakland as Doug and I did, but so be it. Well, let's start with this. Is this team taking backward steps? Because yesterday's game, as much as it got interesting at the end, I saw what looked to me like, in some cases, a team backsliding and not necessarily making even small incremental steps. Doug, did you see it any different?
I saw a little different. I saw just a team that's been the victim of a big play. And, you know, there was two big plays in the game yesterday, the kickoff return and then the fake field goal. But, you know, the defense, when you consider the emotions, you know, the Raiders kind of unloaded in the first quarter, and they came out with a lot of adrenaline, and they ran the ball pretty good down the field. But after that, the defense really shut them down and held them to basically 3 points, as Pat said. Offensively, they just have not been able to ever to get in a rhythm, and I think they were taken off guard a little bit because the Raiders yesterday brought the house early on. I mean, right. They every down, they just dared them to throw it and get rid of it down the field. And they struggled a little bit with that. But I think, you know, Little showed up that he can play. I mean, that was a positive of the offensive part of the game plan. But still, they haven't been able either to establish the run or the pass in a ball game.
And I think when I say backslide, I am talking mostly from an offensive perspective, not from maybe the overall team thing, although very troublesome that you talked about big plays, Doug, that the special teams wind up costing this team 14 points, Tom. And, and then when I couple that with an offense that didn't have the ability to make the bigger plays that that are needed to overcome that or just to give you a chance in another 0 point first quarter, four of them this season.
Yeah, the slow starts are just killing them. And I agree with Doug. I'm not necessarily sure it was a regression as much as there wasn't a whole lot of progress shown. I mean, with the exception to Little, you know, which we have pinpointed for the last couple of weeks, continuing to emerge as a playmaker. But Doug is right. They can't seem to get any kind of a rhythm going early on, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. They get behind in the scoreboard. They're then forced to pass. You can't establish the running game. You know, unfortunately for them yesterday, Hillis gets hurt early. That probably changes the game plan. They did want to, you know, feed him to the Raiders as much as they could. So that changed everything right there. But, you know, more troubling to me, I think, is that, you know, I'm not seeing McCoy be able to throw the ball down the field with any consistency. And as I asked Coach Pat Shurmur today, there's a lot of variables in place there. You know, a revamped offensive line, the inability to get the running game going, you know, young receiving core, new offensive system, a lot of the same problems we've been talking about for the first 5 weeks.
And relative to McCoy, he's a guy that you look at and definitely see flashes. You see things that he does that encourage you, but then you see situations where in this game where he's throwing 45 times but completing only 21, his accuracy
which I think I don't know a quarterback in any system who can't be, you know, who can't afford to be inaccurate. But Doug, it just seems to me like when you're not accurate in this West Coast system, it's a bigger problem. You've got to be pinpoint with delivering.
Well, yeah, you got to get first downs and you got to keep the chains moving and you got to get the yards after the catch. And you know, I don't think we had any pass plays what more than 20 yards yesterday down the field. And you know, yeah, there's a consistency level you'd like to see, but by the same token, you know, I'm wanting to see the guy being open that he missed. I don't see that guy being open that he's missing. I think he knows where to go with the ball. It's just a matter of, can the guy get himself open?
And we use this term work in progress. We use this idea that he and this offense are still new to each other, that there are new people throughout this offense and everybody throughout this team, and that everybody has to sort of understand that this goes along. But nobody understands that. No, when I say nobody, I'm talking from the outside, from a fan perspective and from an observer perspective. There's just the frustration that why can't it be better, and when is it going to get better, and questioning whether or not, you know, the system is right.
Yeah.
I think the system has a lot of good qualities to it. I think it's the right system for the right guy, but what does it take to get it to hum?
Time. And that's, you know, that's the only thing that's going to heal it, I think, Vic. I think it's going to be, you know, like you said earlier, it's a work in progress. I think it's going to be a season of a work in progress and an evaluation as they determine, you know, who are the guys worth keeping. What do they need to fix? What kind of tweaks do they need to make to this system? Can they get a vertical threat that's going to stretch the field a little bit? I mean, there's a whole lot of things that go into this. But I think to your earlier point, I think the frustrating thing from a fan standpoint with McCoy is that you see him just thread beautiful balls, like the touchdown to Massaquai. What a gorgeous throw. But then you also see times where he's thrown to an open area of the field and you're looking out and saying, you know, did somebody run the wrong route?
Right.
What is he seeing down the field? But clearly, you know, there are some issues there.
Yeah, I mean, the last drive when, after the onside kick, he missed Ben Watson. He threw the ball behind him.
Right.
You know, and that's a throw that, you know, you got to lead the guy and try to keep the possession. But there's so many new pieces and parts that are plugged into that offense. I mean, for the Raiders to come out and blitz like they did, they blitzed 10 out of the first 12 plays yesterday.
Right.
And they brought that more people than we had. So they were going to make us get the ball out quick and see if our receivers could get open. And we struggled in on the first 10 or, you know, the couple drives. So I really think, you know, there's it's a growing pain that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, go through.
Yeah, and Coach Shermer did. He brought up accuracy today. He brought up mechanics. He just said Colt McCoy's got a lot of things he needs to work on.
Yeah, I wanted to go there. The totality of him as a quarterback definitely needs that work, that technical work, which does come with repetition and time. And, you know, we say it for the millionth time here. He's played 5 games under this head coach and in this system and in surrounded by this current cast. So that said, the other part of his game, though, that doesn't seem to be lacking, and the intangible part, is confidence, is command. I don't see a guy who seems afraid, even though he's got the baby face. Mm-hmm. And you can look at Colt McCoy, even when he's not playing a game, and say, God, he looks like he could be a little nervous. But the truth is, when he's on the field, I don't think that's what he is.
Oh, no, he's in control. I think the part of it is there's never really been a running game other than maybe the Indianapolis game established to take the heat off of him. It's been all cold in the passing game that's going to, you know, carry the offense because either they got behind or something like that. But, you know, you look at the quarterback for the Raiders, Campbell. I mean, without a running game, his quarterback ratings are in the 60s. But when he gets the 200-yard rushing performance from his running backs, you know, he's up at the 100 level.
And
so
I'm sorry, and then the stats don't look good, you know, the last 2 weeks, but when you're down 27-6 and then you're down 24-10, you've got no other option but to throw the ball on every single down.
It's the round table. Doug Deacon and Tom Withers here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So let's get into this running game issue, because it is an issue. We can say as simply as Peyton Hillis leaving the game early is the biggest drawback, or Peyton Hillis not being what he was a year ago is the problem through the better part of 5 games he's played, in what, 4 of them. And we can say that, fine. Montario Hardesty getting the chance to step in his place and not delivering. I mean, the expectation is next man up. When you're there, you've got to be much more than he was as a runner, and you've got to do better than averaging 3.2 yards per carry. And Hillis, for his part, and I don't know when this injury came about that caused it, but he was 2.3 per carry on 6 tries, Hardesty at 11. So that's getting that's never going to get it done. And we could say how well the Browns did against the Darren McFadden, one of the best rushers in the league. But at the end of the day, he averaged 4.6 yards a rush. He didn't get 100 yards, and that's an accomplishment. But on 91 yards, it was a healthy yards per carry average, and it tells me that's an effective running game. What the Browns have isn't effective. So what is it? Are we just saying just play better? Hardesty's just got to play better. Hillis has got to be healthy and play better, because I don't know that those answers are explaining it all.
No. It's in the execution. And, yeah. I mean, obviously we've seen Hillis, you know, have a 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard season last year. Hardesty has shown flashes. But, you know, like a lot of running backs, you're going to get the 2 yards, the 3 yards, the 2 yards, the 3 yards, and you're going to break off the 20-yarder, and that gets your average up. We haven't been breaking off the 20-yarders, and that's right. At some point is what you got to. And is it because you're not getting each back is not getting enough reps, or you know it's one of those. It's tough to put a finger on. You know, people are taking shots at Pat for calling the plays. Maybe it's too much. Heck, nobody's going to come in and do any better. I mean, somebody else comes in, that guy's going to get hung because he's an offensive coordinator that had no off season and none of that. And Joe Thomas was talking, you can't use that as an excuse, because then it's like, okay, we're going to go out there, well, we didn't have that, so we're not expected to play well. No, they expected, the players expect to play well, but the reality of the situation is they didn't have it.
I want to go back to the passing game before we talk about the running game again. You know, that Oakland team had 8 and 9 guys in the box on every single down. It's going to be tough to run the ball effectively unless you, like Doug said, unless you start breaking tackles at the line of scrimmage and getting into that second tier defender, it's going to be tough to run the ball. I don't care who you're facing.
They're daring this team to throw.
Yeah, they are.
Opponent's MO, let's say it for what it is. Colt McCoy beat us. Beat us with your arm, beat us to the outside, beat us wherever you want to beat us, but we feel that if you can't run, you're not going to beat us because he's not going to beat us.
And I thought it was a good moment early on when he tried Little down the left sideline. I thought they're going to try to stretch him out a little bit, which is, I think, what they need to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think this is a multifaceted issue, but I think a big way for this running game to improve is for somebody to feel a threat in this game. And I'm not buying that it would just simply be, well, McCoy's arm isn't strong enough. I think it's plenty strong. He can reach. He can get the ball down there. It's the question is, you know, can you get the receiver there? Can you get the separation? Are these plays ones that you want to, you know, that you're going to call?
Is it the right call, yeah.
Is the right call. Yeah. And the other thing, Doug, and it's a hard one for I think a lot of Browns fans to get used to, because they're still in the mode of what this offense was a year ago, that this team does set the run up with the pass.
Yeah, especially in this offense, I think it does. I mean, you know, with when Mangini was here, you know, he liked to run the ball so much, he was going to set up the pass with the run.
Right.
But, you know, you need a combination of both going. I mean, because you got your play-action game is involved out the running game. There's just so much. I mean, you're not a drop-back and throw-the-ball team.
No.
You've got to have the mix of the play-action pass in there, and you've got to get the run going to make that even, to be honored.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard for Browns fans to accept this, but I think they got to, in many ways, have to forget about what happened last year.
Right.
You know, whole new regime,
yep.
Whole new system, different way of skinning a cat.
Just getting started on the roundtable with Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. We've got Tom Withers from the Associated Press and yours truly. And we will, in our next segment, get into... Yeah, we do it on Monday's game balls. I know Doug's chuckling, but we're going to try to force one out somehow to somebody if you guys are so inclined. And we, of course, have the fans voting on that as well on the Browns official Facebook page. Stick around, much more on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans. Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security, on Route 91 in Twinsburg, and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance received the top honor for highest in customer satisfaction with the auto insurance purchase experience among consumer shopping for auto insurance in J.D. Power & Associates 2011 Insurance Shopping Study. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit AmFam.com. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance is a special deal for forward thinkers. Switch your auto insurance to American Family and you could save some real money with our new discounts. Now that's something bright to think about. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Savings may vary. See your agent for details.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Tom Heckert, and you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. As the general manager said, it is driven by Liberty Ford. And this game ball portion of the roundtable segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Back on the roundtable with Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And in this segment, we will eventually give out a game ball, maybe a half of one piece of leather somewhere along the line. But as we continue our discussion, let's talk about yesterday's loss to the Raiders, 24-17. Let's talk about the Browns defense and that defensive effort. The first issue I guess I have is an inability to get pressure on the quarterback. Jason Campbell, before he left with a broken collarbone after getting some contact, obviously, to do that, but had far too much comfort in that pocket, and later on, so did the man who took over for him, Kyle Bowler.
Well, yeah, and part of that, you know, is not having Joe Hayden. I mean, we didn't come up and challenge the receivers like we probably would have if we had Joe Hayden. We weren't going to get beat with the deep play, and, you know, Hayward Bay caught a bunch of balls that were some of the ugliest, you know, slant slash curl routes that I've ever seen. But, you know, we were playing off, and, yeah. And you know, it was one of those where the first drive, you know, you're sitting there and say, boy, this is going to be a long afternoon. Would they keep running the ball this way? But they solved the riddle. And then after that first touchdown, they held them to 3 points. But, you know, it's to get, you know, pressure. I think sometimes, you know, it's a combination of the coverage, you know, giving you the.
He broke it down perfectly. I mean, I thought the Browns' inability to play press coverage on Hayden's side of the field really changed the whole game. And as Doug just pointed out, you know, sometimes it's the secondary that makes the defensive line look good and vice versa.
And I think, you know, Dimitri, I think he tweaked his ankle in the pregame warm-up. So, you know, to go on the safe side, you're not going to come up and really challenge.
Yeah.
No, those are valid points. But I'll say this. We haven't seen enough of it throughout each game. I guess I'm looking at it a little bit on a five-game snapshot here that I don't know. For instance, I keep thinking of Matt Hasselbeck, and I saw the different Matt Hasselbeck against the Steelers a week after he played the Browns, where guys were in his face, where he's getting knocked around, and Matt Hasselbeck wanted no part of that. Against the Browns, Matt was a comfortable guy who made plays.
Yeah, I thought they'd be blitzing more than they have, to be honest with you, at this point, and I know Pat Shurmur talked about that when he first got the job, and then during the preseason, that he wants his team to be known as an aggressive team. So I've been a little bit surprised, and again, with Hayden being out, changes maybe the defensive scheme, but I thought they would bring a little more heat from the edge than they have to this point. I mean, they've been selective in their blitzes, but I thought there have been times where they could gamble a little bit, maybe.
How about with regard to the run defense? Again, you've pointed out a couple times, Doug, the improvement early on from what happened early on with Darren McFadden, but he does still end up with a pretty good average. He did have a 24-yarder in there. Michael Bush, a solid game. Not such a great average, but still an effective guy. And overall, on the ground, this team produces 151 rushing yards. It didn't seem to amount to as much as it does normally for them as a Raider team that runs the ball well. And McFadden didn't look like the quote superstar, but it was still effective enough. And I guess the question becomes: are we looking at more of a challenge than the Browns are able to handle on a game in or game out basis against the run, or are we satisfied with where that is?
Well, no, I think, you know, it's one of those where you'd like to, especially in the opening drive, to shut them down, because we've been just horrible in the first quarter as far as, you know, points for, points against, and, you know, to get the other team off the field. But if the other team's got the ability to run the football like they did and go down and score in the first drive, then all of a sudden you're playing from behind. I think, you know, it's, you know, in the other, you know, I think there's a whole lot of things that went on in that game yesterday with the emotion of the Raiders and the way they came out. Because I thought after about the first quarter, not even the entire first quarter, some of that adrenaline started to drain out. And, you know, that's when we started to get kind of back into the ball game a little bit. But then you get hit with the two special teams plays, and you can't really throw that on the defense. You know, that's the special teams. You know, you see Shearer strip the guy, the quarterback. You know, you see plays. You see Phil Taylor get a sack. You get Shearer get a sack. You know, you're seeing these young guys make plays, but, you know, what you got to do is, you know, make plays on a consistent basis. Yeah. And when you lose Scott Fujita, you know, last year we lost him in the Jets game.
Yeah.
And our defense, after we lost him, you know, it took a big hit. You know, you just hope that, you know, the concussion is not serious, and, you know, he's going to be back, because we're thin at the linebacker position.
And let's look at the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Browns have given up four of the biggest, as big a plays as you'll see in a season.
Right.
You know, a 97-yard interception return, an 80-yard pass to the tight end, a fake field goal for a touchdown, and a kickoff return for a touchdown. I mean, you got to hope you can get one back the other way at some point.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, five plays in those losses. I mean, there's seven plays, because you go to Cincinnati. Cincinnati game. It was the one where we got caused our britches out. And then you go to the Benson run where we sold out on the run. And, you know, Pat admitted on the fake field goal, you know, they made a mistake. They sold out on it. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, they'd never shown anything. We never showed anything that would indicate that we were going to be vulnerable, that we were going to sell out.
Sure. I was just puzzled as to why they would sell out on that. I mean, Janikowski has been so good this year, and 53 is almost automatic for him.
Right.
So, I don't know. And your odds of coming off the edge and blocking that field goal in that situation, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, he doesn't get him blocked. And it brings up the point, this point. Do we chalk this up as a fluke, or do we say this is another thing to add to the worry list, that the special teams had such a meltdown? Because it wasn't just 101-yard return, and it wasn't just a fake field goal that turned into a touchdown. So add those up, you got 14 points. It is also the fact that Brad Maynard, it was remarkable that he got some punts off. Though the rush was coming in his lap constantly, and he got punts off amazingly well. And then on top of it all, and how often would we ever say that Ryan Pumphrey on a long snap is going to do what he did? Yeah. Muff that the way he did. But, you know, give it to Phil Dawson because he's Phil Dawson, gets the ball over the goal, over the goalpost for the crossbar for the extra point. I mean, when I looked at that whole picture, I said, this is, and yes, it's the same special teams unit that recovered an onside kick at the end, too, so I'm not going to ignore that. But I say to myself, this is a hard thing to fathom, and I just wonder if we saw a glimpse of something, or was it just a one day special?
I hope it's just a one-day special. The past couple of years, this team was built heavily from the bottom up on the roster for special teams, but we've got a lot of the same, people there. And, it's one of those where, there was probably an illegal block on the kickoff return. And, it's much like the pick play that they ran a couple weeks ago in Houston. We'll probably get another apology letter from the NFL. But that's going to happen. But, special teams we've had the top special teams in the league over the course of the last. And with that said, you got to remember how young this football team is. You've got a lot of young guys that have been, put into those situations. So you're not going to get the consistency level maybe you did in the past.
Yeah, no question there. That it is reflective. Your weakest link usually is reflected in the course of your special teams. All right, well, we do have to do this. We give out a game ball or game balls. This is going to be a push, I know, guys. But from this game, is there anyone that you can stretch and reach, Doug? I know it's against your better judgment, but can you give me somebody?
How about we just give credit?
Credit. We won't even call it
a loss. It's credit, but I give credit to Alex Mack, for playing that soon after the appendectomy. I give credit to Brad Maynard. I mean, he did a great job of getting that ball up. As he said after the game, he says, "I told Pontebrun just to roll one back to make me look good," and he sure did. But on the offense or the defensive side, I don't know. They did give up the big play, but I thought the young kids, Shear and Taylor had a presence yesterday.
Yeah,
I think long and hard on this, and like Doug, Alex Mack was my only choice. I mean, for him to get back out there 2 weeks after undergoing surgery is pretty remarkable. Joe Thomas did say today that he wasn't surprised at all. He said if, unless Alex was in a wheelchair, he was going to be out there. So I tip my cap to Alex.
I don't want to take a guy like Alex Mack for granted because it's easy to do, but there were a lot of people who really, in their heart of hearts, had no doubt he was playing. I mean, when that whole appendectomy happened, okay, fine, he might not practice. He may go through the whole 2 weeks or whatever it was of not practicing from the bye and then into the week preparing for the Raiders. But, yeah, that part wasn't an upset, and you knew he was hurting, and we talked to him about it. So he does get a credit ball, game ball, whatever, for that. I think Brad Maynard, absolutely, for doing, like you said, a couple of things. One, getting those punts off when the rush could have said otherwise. That just showed the experience and the presence and the poise that he has. And the same thing on the hold. And I do remember Chris Tabor sitting in the studio when we first were talking about the arrival of Brad Maynard and it's just getting some background on him because they'd been together in Chicago. He said a quality that people don't know about Brad Maynard that they're going to find out he's the best holder in the National Football League, he said, by far. Well, we saw yesterday the evidence.
Well, I think Phil Dawson's quit losing hair since he came here. I mean, but the other part of it, I guess, people are always looking for things. I thought it was a movie selection on the way out to the West Coast. We watched Shutter Island on the way back. We should have watched Shutter Island on the way there and watched The Hangover 2 on the way back. I mean,
the only question I had about Maynard, though, on the running into the punter penalty, I thought he could have maybe sold that a little better.
A little acting
job there. Maybe he should have watched Shutter Island.
All right. We will give your fan votes on the game balls at the end of the show as you voted from the Browns official Facebook page. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, the panel. We will reconvene on Friday to talk about Sunday's game against the Seattle Seahawks. All right. More coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group, and get the best deal of the year on a new Ford Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now with up to $5,000 in rebates. Or get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 cash back, and another $1,000 for your trade. That's 0 for 60 plus $2,000 on Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Easy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. I'm proud to say that our award-winning customer service is so good we have an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau. So call Alarm Force today and get a home alarm system with no charge live two-way voice and only $25 per month for monitoring. And know that every Alarm Force system is backed by the best customer service in the industry.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Today it seems like the world wants everything to be fast. It has to be world record 100-meter dash with a strong tailwind fast. Things need to be so fast we don't even have time for words. OMG, LOL, TTYL. People even rush through the insurance process. Can you quote them? I covered? Maybe. Who knows? It was so fast. What just happened?
At Liberty Mutual, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to an agent about your auto, home, or life insurance today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
The following is the actual voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. Did you fear you might get caught?
It's not as big of a chance, I guess, as everybody makes it out to be. It's just about doing the right thing and making sure that people are compensated for the work they do. I mean, it'd be the same as your company telling you that they don't want to pay you this week because you just don't feel like it.
Report software piracy confidentially and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Visit nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or go online and search. BSA.
Hey guys, three-time Super Bowl winner Gerard Cherry here for Sunnyside Audi. I've decided it was time to join the Sunnyside Audi team. Just listen to these stats. Sunnyside Audi is Ohio's only exclusive four-time Magna Society dealer. They're Ohio's number one exclusive sales leader, number one certified pre-owned dealer, and number one in overall customer satisfaction. They have the best staff in the business taking care of you and your vehicle. I've got a new Audi from Sunnyside, and I can tell you, driving an Audi is an experience like no other. Sunnyside Audi has all the models like the redesigned A6, new A7, and new A8. If you want the best of the best, Sunnyside is Ohio's only exclusive R8 dealer. Drive what the pros drive. Head to Sunnyside Audi. They're right off of 71 at Pearl, or you can check them out online at sunnysideaudi.com. East side, west side, it's always Sunnyside. Sunnyside Audi.
Back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time to deliver the results from our poll question, which, as it always is, the Monday after a game. Tell us the player that you think deserves a game ball. I know this was a tough one after yesterday's 24-17 loss to the Raiders. The choices were Mike Adams, Brad Maynard, Phil Taylor, or other. Many of you voted. 84% went with other, and of the others, Gregory said Greg Little. Okay. Greg Little, 6 catches. He was a legit guy to maybe see portion of a game ball. Tim, Joshua Cribbs looked the best. Judy, Phil Dawson, as always. And Derek went with, well, he didn't go with other. He went with Phil Taylor, but that's okay. Derek, Phil Taylor was your choice. He was on the list. And we're good with that. Hey, Browns fans, remember you can access the poll questions, a 24-hour rebroadcast of this show, and much, much more on NFL Fan Zone app. The tab is on the left side of the Browns official Facebook page. Ask Vic, also on the Browns official Facebook page. Kerry, is Colt's accuracy poor, or are the receivers running the wrong routes, or both? I think Colt definitely had an accuracy issue in the last game. He's had somewhat of that issue for other games, but I thought it was more pronounced against the Raiders. I'm not taking heat off receivers. It's a collective effort here. They didn't do the best job. As Pat Shurmur mentioned, as well as Greg Little played in his first NFL start, he said he's got a lot of work to do, and I would concur with that. Had a dozen targets, six catches. Chris said, should we attempt to run two tight ends and a fullback and buy Colt some more time? Problem with that, Chris, is you're taking receivers out of patterns. If you concentrate on all protection, who's he throwing to out there? And I think that's something to consider when you want to go mass, you know, heavy protect. You're taking something. You got to sacrifice something in your passing game. Mike, what's the difference in the offensive line? Went from having the very good line to a not so good one in a year. New blocking scheme, or are they just making mistakes? New players. You got two young guys at guard. That doesn't explain everything, but I think that's part of the problem. And you had Alex Mack playing not so healthy. Trying to come back from that appendectomy. We want to thank Bernie Kosar. We want to thank Doug Deacon, and we want to thank Tom Withers. We want to thank Kristen Rebelli, Jameer Howerton, and Dean Dave Dino Dina Talley. We'll talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.